Well, good morning. Whether you are here in person or whether you're online with us, we are doing a summer series where we're asking the question, what's most important in life? And this morning we are looking at inspiring others, being an inspirational person. And so we're going to look at that topic and the passage that Anthony read, but how about I pray? Let's pray. I pray, God, that wherever we're at with you, you would speak to us and help us to see what this life is really on about. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if there was one career that didn't exist 20 or 15 or even 10 years ago, it is the career of being a social media influencer. I'm not sure if you've heard about social media influencers. They're people that get a huge following, or sometimes not a huge following, on social media, and then use that following to generate money, either through spruiking things and selling things, or maybe they just advertise things. Kate and I know a couple that got in the news. They had a newborn baby overseas, and they found it hard to get back to into Australia because of COVID. And their social media, pages on Instagram and that kind of thing blew up with people following them. And companies started contacting them and said, will you just do a post about how you like this kind of, change table or whatever it was, and we'll give you the change table and we'll give you $800 too. And so it's an interesting world that we live in. And it's interesting when you have a look at social media influencers, you can actually see that bubbling down into culture. There was a survey done a couple of years ago of 2,000 parents in Australia, and they who have kids between the ages of 11 and 16. 2,000 parents in Australia who have children between the ages of 11 and 16. And they were asked, what do your kids want to do with their life? 18% said, my child wants to be a doctor. Second, 17% said, my child wants to be a social media influencer. Third, 14% said, my child wants to be a YouTuber. Fourth, 13% veterinarian. Fifth, teacher. 9% pastor. Didn't rank for some reason, I'm not sure. But it's interesting, right? Of the three top professions that 11 and 16, kids between 11 and 16-year-old, social media influencer is up there. YouTuber is up there, which is just another way of saying social media influencer. They then asked the parents, why did they want this particular job? 26% said for the money. 22% said for the fame. For the fame. And finally, 17% said because they will be good at it and they would enjoy it. One of the things that shows us is that we want to influence people, especially younger people. But I would say it doesn't matter how young or old you are, you want to influence people for the better. You want to help people live better lives. And especially if you've got kids, you want to influence them so that they're a good person, a nice person, a person who is smart, yes, and is successful, but really great with people. We want to influence people to be better. And in fact, we want to live our lives in such a way that at the end of our lives, people will say that person made an impact on our lives for the better. That person made an impact on many lives for the better. We want to influence people. We want to leave a legacy today. And so, when it comes to every area of our lives, we can see this, whether it be family or work. No one wants to go away and just put in hours at work and not make the people around us better. Generally, we want to make people around us better. And yet, there's actually a dark side to this. Because it's not just that we want people around us to be better because of our influence. It's through our influence, if we're honest with ourselves, we want to be good in other people's eyes. We want to be great in other people's eyes. That's one of the scary things about influence today. It was interesting that when I read about social media influencers this week, so many said one of the greatest things about it is that I am known. That I can put something on social media and 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 100,000 people will like it, will retweet it, or something like that. So they're trying to influence people for the better, but they also like the fame that goes along with it. And we may not have an Instagram account. We may not be on social media. We may not be on Facebook or Twitter. But we want to influence those around us for the better, at least in part, so that they will go, oh, wow, that person was a great father or mother. That person was a great friend or is a great friend. What a great boss that person is. We want to be fulfilled because of what they say and because of our influence in their lives. Yes, we want to leave a legacy, but it's not just about the other person a lot of the time. I read a social media influencer said this week, they said that influence is just the new fame. That is, what we used to say 20 years ago is, I want to be well known and famous. Now, because that sounds too arrogant, we want to say we want to be influential. We want to make an impact. We want to change lives. Because doesn't that sound better than just say, I want to be famous? I wonder if you have dreams. I wonder if you have dreams of people who, yes, that you've influenced them for the better, but they see, and they say to you, what a great person you are, how much you've done for them. The irony about influence like this, when we think about, even on a small scale, when we're thinking about, I'm going to influence these people so I would be greater or I would be better or people would see how great I am, is our influence actually diminishes and our influence actually poisons. Let me give you three examples. One of the things that we've seen over the last 50 years or so is that there has been a huge distrust or a growing distrust in politics. In the 1960s, a survey was done and it said 75% of Australians actually trusted their politicians. Now, it was about 5 years ago, it was 25%. If you have been born from about 1978 onwards, it's about 18% for us. And it's only going down and down and down. And when they ask people, why don't you trust politicians? It is because of two things. The first thing is, it seems like for a lot of us, politicians aren't really compassionate a lot of the time. They don't represent other people's positions fairly. Or they don't care about boat people or something like that, and therefore we don't trust them because they lack compassion. But the second one is really interesting. One of the reasons why a lot of people say they don't trust politicians is because it seems like politicians just do things for themselves to get re-elected. People will notice when politicians at one election will say something, and because of the winds of change in the world, culture changes, they will say something totally different at another election. And therefore, they will say, it just seems like they're shifting. They're shifting what they say and their policies just to get re-elected. It was very, very interesting that in 2008, the Democratic Party in the States basically said, gay marriage is out. And within a few short years, only 4 years, it was that if you don't believe in gay marriage, you're a bigot. Change like that is what we're talking about. Now, I don't know where you're at on the gay marriage thing. That's not the point. The point is, at one point, to get elected, they said, no, we're against it. 4 years later, to get elected, they said, we are for it. All for themselves. All for themselves. And so we see people's influence. Politicians want to influence. but they're trying to influence for themselves. You see this actually in the sporting field. People want to influence others. They want to be the greatest. But it's for themselves, not for the team. I like to watch basketball, and it's interesting to see three different players. There's one guy, Steph Curry, who's one of the greatest players of all, greatest shooters of all time. And then there's two guys who I think are probably on a skill level as good as him. Russell Westbrook and James Harden. But Russell Westbrook and James Harden try to influence others and get acclaim by having great stats, by putting up the numbers. Steph Curry actually doesn't care about numbers. He cheers on his teammates. He passes the ball just as much as he shoots. And the interesting thing is, Steph Curry has got three championships. Russell Westbrook and James Harden have got zero. Steph Curry, in 10, 15, 20 years' time, will be known as the greatest shooter that ever lived. James Harden and Russell Westbrook will be known as great players, but that didn't reach their potential. They're trying to influence others, but they're trying to look good at the same time. And thirdly, you see this in the world of business. There's so many different examples, but let me give you one. There was a man named Lee Iacocca, and he came in the 80s to save Chrysler. Chrysler was going through a hugely bad time. And so with his influence, he influenced a whole company to turn around. And turn around they did. In fact, there was a time there that the Chrysler stocks outperformed the general market by 2.9 times. And yet, what you saw with Lee Iacocca is that he started using his influence for himself. He started going on all the talk shows. He thought about running for president. And in fact, what happened in the end is that when he left, Chrysler went into a shambles because it was all about him and his influence. And in the end, Chrysler almost went bankrupt. You see, he had great influence, but a lot of his influence was not about other people, it was about himself. And therefore, his influence was poisoned. See, the great thing about influence is this, that if we want to influence others just for the good of those, it will be great. And yet, even if we're not like those three areas that I talked about, politics, sport, and business, even if we're not exactly like that, our desire to be influential is at least tinged by the feeling that we want to be great. We want to be significant. Well, what's interesting is that Jesus dealt with these things in his ministry. In the passage that we read out, Mark chapter 10, what we've seen in Mark chapter 10 so far is that Jesus has been talking about his own death, and he's been saying how he is going to die. He's going to die, and yet we see the disciples kind of don't get this. In fact, they have got huge ambition. They want to be extremely influential. Let's have a look at what they say. Verse 35 with me. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" They replied, "Let us one of you sit at the right hand and the other at your left in glory." It's interesting. Jesus has just been talking about death. His death. And they're like, well, Jesus, can you make us to be in the most influential spots when you come into your glory? When you're reigning as king, can we sit on your right and your left? Let us have those positions of influence and power. They're all thinking about themselves. And yet, what does Jesus say? Verse 38, "You do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to die. I've told you I'm going to die. Can you go through that death? Verse 39, we can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. You can imagine them saying, oh yes, we're going to do it, and giving themselves high fives that they're going to like go through exactly what Jesus is saying, but they don't realize what Jesus is actually saying. But Jesus says, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. James and John, to average people like us, they want to be in the most influential seats. They want to influence others. They want to leave a legacy, maybe. They want to be seen as great. And yet, Jesus actually says, that's not for me to grasp. But he'll say, actually, your thinking is too much like the world and not enough like the kingdom, his kingdom. Have a look at verse 41. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. He's saying, if you have a look at the leaders of this day, what do? They lord it over them. They bully them, basically. They basically do what Lee Iacocca did and makes it everything about them. And say, you've got to fall into line. That's what you've got to do. And I will use force to get what I want. Jesus says, not so with you. How should we be? How should we influence? Have a look. Verse 43. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. You see what Jesus is saying? If you want to be influential, if you want to be great, serve others. Serve others. If you want to leave a legacy, Jesus is saying, forget about yourself and serve others. If you want to be influential at your work, forget about what people think of you and serve others. If you want to be influential in church, forget about what other people think of you or whether you're getting the recognition and the praise that you think you deserve and serve others. Be totally self-forgetful. Be totally self-forgetful. And that's when you're going to leave a legacy that matters. That's when you're going to influence people for the good. When you take your ego out of it and you be truly humble, because that's in the end what Jesus does. Verse 44, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He's saying himself, Jesus is saying here, I came not so that a lot of people would serve me and would think I'm amazing, but I actually came as a human to die for your sin, to take your sin away. I came to serve you. That's what I came to do. And so what should you do? You should do the same as me. You should serve. Now imagine for a second we lived in a world where everyone didn't care about themselves, who just decided to serve everyone else, who didn't put themselves first, but put everyone else first. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Wouldn't it be amazing if in your company no one cared who got, you know, employee of the month. No one cared who got the bonus. No one cared who got the kudos. No one cared who got the acclaim or the promotion. Because our desire was not for ourselves, but to serve everyone else. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Would your workplace be better if it was like that? Of course it would be. Of course it would be. I don't know if you've ever been on a sporting team where everyone seemed to be trying to get their own stats. They're the worst team ever. I remember playing basketball, being on a team where everyone on the team except me was really good, right? But everyone was all about their own shots. That was a terrible game to play. I also remember being on a team where we were all terrible. And yet, we cheered each other on. We didn't care about our own stats. We just played for the team and for the love of the game. That's what made it enjoyable. And I wonder about your workplace. I wonder about your life. See, I dare say we know somebody, or we're thinking about someone we know right now who's doing their job or serving at church or something like that because they want to be significant, because they want to have their name in the spotlight. But what about you? What about you? You see, Jesus is saying, here's a far better way. Forget about yourself and serve others. And you're going to be greatly influential. And can I just say that we actually see this played out in the three realms that I talked about earlier. We see it in politics, we see it in sport, and we also see it in business. In politics, probably the greatest, most influential politician of the 20th century, at least arguably, was Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was, he spent 27 years in prison. While he was in prison, what did he want to do? He actually sought to serve the prisoners with him. They smuggled books in, and in fact, when the guards realized they couldn't stop the smuggling of books, they just said, Nelson Mandela, what do you want to do? And though he set up Mandela University and taught people in there who couldn't read to read, so when they got out, they would have prospects of getting a better job. He set up a garden so that the inmates would have better food. They produced so much from their crops that he started giving it to the people that were over him, to the prison guards. When he finally got out after 27 years of prison, when he became the president, everyone was saying, let's hunt those people down who did this to you, who beat you. And he said, no, let's forgive. One of his most famous statements was, lead from behind and let everyone think that they're actually leading from the front. He did not care who got the glory. He was humble. And that's why he's one of the most influential figures, political figures, of at least the last 100 years. But also in sport, I read a book and I subjected the staff team to read this book. It's a fantastic book. It's called The Captain Class by Sam Walker. And what he does is he takes the greatest teams, the greatest sporting teams ever, and he tries to figure out what is the one thing, what is the one common denominator they all had. He finds the 13 teams, and some are AFL teams, some are NBA teams, some are, you know, soccer teams, right? And he finds that they all have a particular captain. A captain who actually can't stand the limelight. A captain that looks to serve others. A captain that will carry their bags from the bus. A captain that will get everyone's water. A captain that will serve the people on their team. That won't care about themselves. And what he sees is that kind of captain will mean that your team is going to be extremely successful. And ironically, that captain then will have a greater influence than if they were all on about themselves, will have a greater influence and a greater legacy because they chose to serve rather than be served. And in business, there's a great book, I'm sure a lot of you guys who are in business have read it, Good to Great by Jim Collins. And he once again finds all these great companies, not just good companies, great companies, who have outperformed the stock market by, I think, 15% for 15 years. And what he sees is that the CEO is a particular kind of person. They're humble and yet driven. He talks about what they do is, if the company goes very well, they actually point outside their office to the people that they have employed and say, it's all about them. Aren't they amazing? they're just fantastic. We got the right people. I've just been lucky to get them in. And when things go bad, what he says is like, I made a mistake. I did the wrong thing. Humility. Humility. Jim Collins says, if you want to be great in the business world, serve others, don't care about yourself. If you want to be great in the sporting world, serve others, don't care about yourself. If you want to be great in life, serve others, don't care about yourself. That is exactly what Jesus is saying. We all want to be influential. And yet we will only be influential if we do what Jesus has done for us. And that is serve others, not ourselves. What about you? Are you serving others or are you just serving your own vision for your own life? Do you really care about what people think of you? Or Jesus would say there's actually significant work to be done in your life. But Jesus says this is so much better. This is so much better. I remember, I've got to admit, I guess a sin in my life. I tried to be a social media influencer. About 10-ish years ago, maybe more, I found out how you could game Twitter and Facebook to get more followers. I haven't checked, but at one point, I don't know how many I've got now, but I had 13,000 people following me on Twitter. Every time I put up any tweet about anything, you know, 25 people would retweet me. And it was all about me. And there was this pressure on me to be amazing, to write a blog post that was amazing, to speak and be amazing. I was almost crushing. Yes, I wanted to influence others. But I wanted to influence others so that they would think I'm amazing. And the pressure to be amazing all the time was just too much. I feel like what God has been trying to tell me is what I've been talking about right here. Forget about yourself and serve others. Don't care about what other people think of you. I've still got a long way to go, but can I just say it feels more freeing than I was 10 years ago. And here's the beautiful thing. Some of you guys are going, but Hans, what about the acclaim? What about working hard? What about doing all this stuff? Well, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, everything that you do will be rewarded. One day you will stand before the Lord Jesus and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've not only influenced people and left a legacy, but I've seen what you've done and I'm proud of you. But some of you guys are going, well, Hans, oh, that doesn't sound like a really good, you know, something to say for all the work I've been putting in. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't sound really exciting or inspiring, but what you've got to realize, it's not the words someone says, it's who the person is who says it. I got a friend named Daryl, and he's a great keyboard player. He's probably Australia's best keyboard player. He plays all around the world. And he plays with, you know, Delta Goodrum and everyone. He's fantastic. And, you know, every gig he'll get, all these people come up to him and tell him how great he is. And I go, okay, yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, heard it all before. One time about 10 years ago, Stevie Wonder was in town. And after going to see Stevie Wonder in concert, they went back to the piano room in King's Cross and they were jamming. And Stevie Wonder walked in. And Daryl was playing and singing and everything. And Stevie Wonder was beaming. And just as Stevie Wonder was going to walk out, he you know, canvassed the room and talked to everyone. And went up to Daryl and said, you played and sung tonight. And Daryl goes, yeah, yeah, he goes. He said, Stevie said, thank you for bringing joy to everybody's soul tonight. Now, did Daryl just go, oh, well, it's just another compliment? No, he didn't. He goes, oh, I got complimented from Stevie Wonder. He said he enjoyed my music. His heart exploded with joy. One day, the Lord Jesus himself, who's the greatest person in the universe, may say to you, if you trust in him and live for him, well done, good and faithful servant, and your heart will explode with joy, an eternity's worth of joy. Don't go for the applause of men. Do what Jesus says here and serve others for his glory. And that's the influence that you are really looking for. That's the influence that lasts. That'll be the legacy that lasts, not only in this life, but for eternity. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would help us to build lives, legacies, influence that is not about ourselves, but is about other people. That we would not try to be bigger or greater than we truly are, but we would serve others for their good, and we would reap an influence that's going to be far greater than if we are doing our influencing for ourselves. And so I pray that you would change us, help us to live as Jesus shows us how to live and tells us how to live. Amen.